good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Shane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. That way you can listen to all of the shows across all of the stations, all across our vast radio network around Wisconsin. And then you can catch Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m., and many, many others. So do it. Don't wait. Download the Civic Media app today. Very excited to have our next guest with us. I have so very, very many questions. He is the entertainment director and live event host for Midwest Gaming Classic. Matthew Isbell is here. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
Good morning. We're getting set up here at the Baird Center. We're excited to have you guys with us here this morning.
Well, this has really grown into quite a happening, right? I mean, it started
it
out.
It really has.
It started out just a bunch of they were game
individuals.
Geeks. They were game geeks who liked the same game, right? And then it has grown into this massive. Yeah, you know, it's a trade show featuring 250,000 square feet of retro and modern home video game consoles, pinball machines, arcade games, computers, tabletop board games, crane games. I mean, you name it. There's got to be something for everybody.
We always say here, if you're from the 2-year-old to the 99-year-old, you can come have a great time here at the Midwest Gaming Classic.
Well, I'm not quite 99 yet.
But you asked the question, and Matt just answered it.
So, okay, let's start with that, Matthew. I've never played a console game.
You ever played Atari?
No.
Coleco?
No.
What?
Neo Geo?
No.
I keep going.
I don't even know what those are.
You know what Atari is, don't
I? Know what Atari is, but okay. The other ones you mentioned, I've never heard of that. What would be a good console game for someone like me who is not a big gamer? And I'm 64. I'm not, you know, what would be a good starting place for me?
See, I would have you come in here and I would have us go to like the Atari 2600, the NES or Super Nintendo. You can get on some Pac-Man or Super Mario. Like, that's the easiest pick up and play.
Yes.
Where you could just enjoy yourself for as long as you want to.
Yep. Also,
I'm not ready for the complicated stuff.
No, you got to learn. I tried when I was younger, I tried
you
showing
said you just wanted to pick up and play.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
When I was younger, I tried to show my mom how to play Super Mario Brothers, and this was, if you're watching the live stream, she would hold the controller, and every time Mario would jump, she'd jump with it. She'd do this, like, as if her hand was so you gotta ease yourself in. Dexterity.
You gotta run before you can fly.
Exactly. Matt knows what we're talking about.
Are all console, not all console games, but these first-person games, Matt?
Yes.
Do they all involve weaponry? Can I play a first person game that doesn't involve killing a bunch of zombies or something?
Absolutely. There's a lot of first person games out there, believe it or not, that are just like mission based when it comes to you want to find items or you want to go on a treasure hunt or something like that. Like, there's plenty of games out there like that that don't involve, you know, gun violence at all.
That would be more my speed.
What would be something? I totally agree with you. I think Super Mario is a great start. What would be a good mission based game? Something that like involves a little more of your mind. Like, you got to like think about what you're doing. Strategy,
strategy or puzzle, more puzzle like.
I would say Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy series. You know, it's very strategic based, very mission based, and it's more like fictional creatures, and you're just following these missions and these guides. Like, and you can go as fast as you want or go as slow as you want and take your time.
Calvin, you were nodding along with the Final Fantasy. Is that a game that you're familiar with?
I actually just recently started a few months ago playing the pixel remaster of the original Final Fantasy games. I played the first one and the second one. I'm on the third one now. There's six of them of the pixel remastered ones.
And what do you think?
They're fun. I think they might be a little confusing. They don't give you much guidance on where to go. Kind of have to figure it out.
Well, maybe then she should start with Earthbound. Earthbound gave you a lot of direction back in the day on Super Nintendo. Yeah. Like, that gave you guidance and how to, you know, play the game, because Final Fantasy, as you said, was catered to an audience that was like the adult audience at that time that could just pick up and play. When Earthbound, they made it for kids, but it was still an RPG-based style game where you have to follow and do those missions.
There we go.
All right. I got a starting point.
I think we have an idea for Christmas or a birthday present.
Hey, if you tried to find a copy of Earthbound, though, that's a very expensive game right now. It's a very rare game to find on the market. It's very expensive to find.
Cool. You're going to get Mario then.
Okay. Matt Isbell.
Just start with Mario. That's all you got to do.
All right. I'll start with that. Matt Isbell is with the Midwest Gaming Classic. He's the entertainment director and live event host. And the Gaming Classic is happening this weekend at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee. You had said, Matt, when we started, that this event is for everyone from 2 up to 90. So for younger kids, where is a good spot for parents to direct them once they get there?
The room I am standing in right now. This is going to be our game center once we open doors tomorrow night. This will have everything from right behind me. You see a bunch of tables. That will be our gaming museum. That includes everything from the Atari 2600 all the way up to the newest consoles, Xbox and PlayStation 5 and Nintendo Switch, in chronological order.
Oh, wow.
For kids to just go up and play. We also have, to my left right now, that's getting set up. We're going to have so many pinball machines. This weekend alone, we'll have, combined when it comes to arcade, video, tabletop, or anything, we'll have about 15,000 games here inside the Baird Center.
Well, and that's something we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, the video game aspect, but it's not just video games either. It's everything, correct? What are some of the other, if you're not a video game person, what can someone go there looking for that will entertain them?
The pinball machines, the arcade, and the consoles in the gaming area when it comes to the video area, as I call it.
Yeah.
But then we have tabletop games. So if you want to come and play a board game, and there we have this group that comes in and brings hundreds and hundreds of board games. You pay your admission, right? You walk in and you go up to this wall and say, I want to play that board game. Here you go. They give you this board game. You go sit at a table and you play this board game. And you just hang out with friends playing board games. We have tabletop RPG, which is more on it's like the board game style, but it's more based on, you know, fictional characters. Mm-hmm. And these games can take hours. So people just want to, a lot of people I notice here do that is, instead of just doing it at home, they just want to be surrounded by people and they'll play the same exact game that they're doing at home, but they just come here and play it with a bunch of people. And some of these RPG games, you can have up to 30 players at once. Yeah. It's crazy.
And those RPG games, like your D&Ds, and like, I remember my friends were in a game called Shadowrun. Those games can last for decades. One campaign. Yeah. If you were in it, I don't have the attention. I would love to do a D&D campaign, but I feel like I would just... It'd be like if I play poker, I ruin the fun because I'm coming and going, what are we doing today?
Well, and that's how I feel too with some of these more complicated things. I'd have to work my way up to that or I'm going to ruin someone's campaign.
But I think Matt will agree, if you play with the right people, they're going to help you.
Yeah, that is the one thing about this community I love. And because I've only been part of the event for the last 7 years, the one thing I've noticed is if somebody comes by themselves, they don't come with friends or anything, they just come by themselves, they end up leaving with a group of friends from that weekend that they've just made friends from, that could have made from Texas or California or New York, wherever it is across the country, even across the world. We have people coming from Australia this year to our event, you know, just to attend. Like, people come here with no friends, like not have any friends when they show up, and they leave making so many friends. It's an incredible experience.
That's really cool.
I love that.
I do too.
So much.
And because we talk so much, Matt, about when we were all in lockdown and during COVID and isolation was so bad, and we know loneliness is a big problem, and we always suggest that folks, you know, volunteer for something or you know, join an organization that's doing good works. But this is another way to make friends.
And that's the cool thing, too, because a lot of the other things that we do here, besides the games, you know, we have the games, but we have like the main stage where there's a bunch of music happening all day long, and people just go there and they sit there and enjoy the music, and that's how they're meeting friends, too.
Yeah.
We have these little after parties where people could just come and hang out and associate. People can be themselves here.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the one thing I love about this show. You know, it's like, I feel like some events that we go to nowadays, it's like you have to be part of an exclusive group almost. Like,
right.
If you go to a country concert, like, oh, these are people that just like country music. No, not here. Anybody and everybody is welcome. And we get so many different types of people from around the world that just come enjoy this.
I love it.
That is so cool. And again, when you consider the very humble origins that this thing sprang from and what it has become, that's awesome.
Yeah.
we're very lucky.
Yeah. We only have so we have video games, we have board games. What are other things? You said there's music. What are other things people can look forward to? Is there demonstrations? Are there going to be panel talks?
Oh, we have pinball demonstrations, arcade demonstrations on how to fix your machines, or if you want to build your own machine, how you could do that. We have panel presentations from celebrity YouTubers coming here. We have video game celebrity hosts. We have, I don't know if you guys know the guy, gentleman name, but Philip Moore. Philip Moore was the host on Nickelodeon back in the 90s of kid shows like Figure It Out and a couple other TV shows from Nickelodeon. He's going to be here this week. Yeah, we have a bunch of people. And here's the cool thing. A lot of conventions you go to, you have to pay to sign, right? You have to pay to meet the person you want to meet to get that autograph. No, not here. You come here, you want that autograph, you show up and you want to meet that person, you can. And here's the cool thing. We don't limit our celebrity people but the talent that we bring in, we don't make them sit at a table all day for 8 hours. Hey, we want you to sign for 2 hours, but then after that, go walk around and enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And they go walk around enjoying the show and just meeting people. So they'll just be walking around casually playing games, and they'll go up to somebody that they don't know, and they're just playing pinball with somebody. Like, that's what's different about our show. So you can just meet and greet people at any moment during the event. Like, and that's the cool part.
You never know who you might run into at the Midwest Gaming
Classic.
You never know.
You might run into a radio legend, Jane Batonaire.
I'll be the one at the simplest console. And like your mother, I'll probably be jumping up. I'll be jumping up and down with Mario every time he leaps over
but
something.
Will you be having fun?
I think so.
There you go.
Do you have time to stay for one more segment, Matthew?
I sure do. Keep me as long as you need.
Wonderful. We're going to keep talking about the Midwest Gaming Classic happening this weekend at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee. If you have a question, call or text it in at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking to Matt Isbell from the Midwest Gaming Classic, going to be going on at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee all weekend long, and it sounds like just a blast. Yeah. We did want to give us a little history lesson.
Yeah, Matt, can you give us, like we can see, if you're watching the live stream now, you are in a gigantic room, but that is, of course, not where this started. Can you give us a brief history of the roots of this event?
Yeah, so Gabby and Dan Lucen, almost 20 plus years ago now, they were fans of a console called the Atari Jaguar. It did not sell very well.
No.
And so there was like a cult following for the Atari Jaguar. And they ended up creating a mini convention for the Jaguar called Jackfest. And here's how small this is. This thing started inside of like a Boy Scout troop room, like with like 20 people, if that. And they had one vendor. And it started that small, and then year after year, it just kept gradually growing, where ended up getting so many people that it moved to the Brookfield Sheridan, the Sheridan in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and it became the Midwest Classic, and then it turned into the Midwest Gaming Classic. And when we were, it's been about 6 years now since we've been at the Sheridan, and now we're here at the Baird Center. So, I mean, it started with just like 15, 20 people in this one thing doing this, talking about one specific console. yeah. that has now developed into we have everything that you can think of here at the show.
Well, and the fact that you're getting people from all over the world to come from Australia, I mean, that's not a short...
That's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing.
I just imagine... If you don't know, people who are into gaming, games, they can be opinionated. And I would love to have heard the very deep opinions on the Atari Jaguar, which...
Could you imagine that? Like, the 20 people in one room for a weekend, and they're just sitting there shouting about this Atari Jaguar console for forever about this?
I just hear people screaming, well, actually, but, you know, it's fine. It's great. I love that. And that's how, like... You look at the early days of the San Diego Comic-Con, pictures of people in like a hotel ballroom that's no bigger than the studio looking at comic books. That's it. There's, you know, movie stars weren't coming. It was just, oh, those were the roots. And I love the root story of the stuff like this. And that's very, absolutely. That's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, I really love the whole, you can make friends.
Yes.
In a place where you may not expect it and develop a passion for something that you didn't realize.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, too, it's about keeping the core family value here, too. We truly mean that. So, like, you come on Sunday, we advertise that as our family day because it's $25 for an adult to get into Sunday family day. But kids 9 and under are free. So if one adult's paying and then you have a 9-year-old or under, that kid's getting in free and they're roaming around. So you just both got in for the less of a movie ticket, essentially, these days to come play games all day and just hang out and have a great time.
Yeah. And there's no requirement to spend money either once you get your ticket. You can look around. You can do whatever you want. Like you said, the talent who's signing autographs, they are free. I mean,
the games are free, too, behind that are going to be in here. Yeah. They're all included with your ticket. So what, you don't have to pay anymore.
Where can people get tickets, Matthew, if they're listening and they would like to go this weekend?
Until tomorrow at midnight, you can get tickets online at MidwestGamingClassic.com. Or you get them here at the Baird Center throughout the weekend, starting on Saturday. Because tomorrow night, we posted it last night, we're sold out for tomorrow night.
Wow.
Like, we can't have any more tickets. Now, that is, sorry, guys. That is our preview night. That is our preview night. But we only let a limited amount in. So we have about 2,500 people that only get access to preview night.
Yeah.
But Saturday and Sunday, man, we're expecting maybe 30,000-40,000 people.
Wow.
That's fantastic. I love it.
And so again, are the ticket prices, are they all $25 or is that only for Sunday, Matthew?
So Sunday is $25 and I believe Saturday is $50 because the event is longer on Saturday. The event starts at 9:30 a.m. and goes till 8 p.m. on Saturday. So you can play games from 9:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. if you want to. And then Sunday is from 9:30 a.m. to about 5 p.m.
Do you have to flash the lights like it's bar time when you finally want to get everybody out of here? It's like, all right, you've been playing games for 9.5 hours. Now you have to go home.
No, we actually just unplug all the machines.
So
you think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? That's what we do.
I just want to imagine there's one big button that Dan the Lucids just press it. Get out. Now, here's a question I have before we get out of here is, are there people who come to play games with each other and continue a game they stopped last year? They're like, all right, we'll see you next year, and they continue. I mean, I don't know if you know this. It's just,
you know,
in my head, that sounds amazing.
That is a question that I've never been asked before, and I don't know. And now that you've said that to me, I am going to look this year and see if there are people that are like that.
Yeah. I just imagine that's like a cool idea. It's like, all right, we'll end here. I will see you next April.
See, I could see that with the RPG, in a tabletop form, but like console gaming, hey, maybe groups started Sonic 3 and finished in the middle, and they're like, hey, we'll come back and finish this next year type of thing.
That's so cool.
You know, that would be amazing. Now I'm going to find out for you guys.
Feel free to email us. Please email
us.
I will.
Matt Isbell is the entertainment director and live event host for the Midwest Gaming Classic that is happening this weekend in downtown Milwaukee at the Baird Center. If you want to get tickets, go to MidwestGamingClassic.com. We will put the link in our show notes.
Yes.
And one real quick question from someone listening here on WAUK. Is there a good winged thinged or animal mission game out there to play?
You know what? I really don't know. Animal Crossing.
I was going to say, yeah.
It depends on the age range, right? Like, sure. Animal Crossing is a very good one. It's, you know what? Maybe you would like Animal Crossing, too. You were someone that picked up and play. Like, Animal Crossing is like mission based. It's strategic, and it's like you have to take care of your animals and take care of your house and stuff like that. It's actually a pretty cool game. That's a really good game.
I was always a Myst fan. I liked Myst.
Was Myst a more mystical, magical, yeah, magical thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was very strategic, very mission based, and that's slow as then like it just you played at your pace. It was very nice.
Yes. I liked
it.
I'm gonna be there.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to go on Sunday. I'm really,
please
really
come on. Please come on out and just check it out. You know, yeah, you can spend hours here, or you could spend an hour here, and you still have a great time. Yeah.
Sounds wonderful. Have a great, great weekend, Matt Isbell with the Midwest Gaming Classic. Can't wait to see it. Check it out for yourselves. And again, we'll get all the links in our show notes about an hour after the show is done. Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Have fun.
Thank you, guys.
Stay with us. News is coming up next. And then when we return, we talk all things sports with Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. Just a reminder to catch the Brewers game. You can catch it tomorrow night, Toronto Raptors-Bucks game. At the Bucks tomorrow at 6:30, you can listen on locally grown radio WFHR in the Rapids, and also on WLAK Lake Air in Amory.
Amory.
That is the Bucks hosting the Raptors tomorrow at 6:30. Speaking of tomorrow night, also we do have a pair of Brewers tickets for tomorrow night's game.
Yes,
Brewers and Mariners at 7:10.
Correct.
So we will be giving those away coming up at 11:50 with a little trivia question. So stick around for that if you can. J.R. Radcliffe, Journal Sentinel sports guru, is here every other Thursday. Thanks for coming in, J.R. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good to see you guys again.
Good to see you, too. Where would you like to start? Because Greg and I were talking before we got on the air this morning about how few regular season games are left in the basketball season.
Yeah, there's six of them. That's it. But they're playing real bad.
I know.
The reason why I brought this up to Jane and I wanted to ask you is someone posted a graphic of Adrian Griffin's record with the Bucks this season versus Doc Rivers. And, you know, I know for fans, they're holding hope and all this stuff, and there's charm in Doc Rivers' gruffiness, but the man doesn't know how to, when asked why they lost a game, he just is always like, yeah, they outplayed us. If you're giving us such simple answers, to me, it sounds like you don't even care. Like, and the record shows, like, you don't care that you're losing.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly interpret it that way. I won't pretend. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's in his head. I don't know what's in this team's head. You know, they've been playing shorthanded a lot, which doesn't excuse playing again. You know, losing back-to-back games against two of the worst teams in the NBA is a bad look no matter what. Yeah. You know, even if it is your second-string guys, they should be able to win those games, I think. They didn't have Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard against Memphis. They haven't had Lillard for a few games. So, I think it's possible that they're just, you know, and Doc Rivers has been around the block a long time. They're just like coasting into the playoffs, right? They kind of have a pretty good situation in terms of their record. They're not locked into the number two seed, but really, as long as they keep the number three, they're going to have a similar playoff path no matter what happens. So, I don't know if I believe wholeheartedly that they're just like in shutdown mode and don't even care if they win or lose. I don't think that's true. Of course they care if they win or lose a game, but these games they just don't have the urgency of what's going to come later. And if all three of those guys, meaning Giannis, Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton, are healthy going into the postseason, none of this is going to matter. And it will all be based on what they do in that series. So everything for these last few weeks is about getting ready for that first series. And it could be the Miami Heat. We don't know who it'll be, but it could be a team that's already, you know, like a matchup problem. I'm not saying that I think there's a good chance they flip a switch and go on a big playoff run. I think there is reason for concern, but I also just like, you know, I don't want to rule out that maybe this part of the season just isn't a priority for them right now. They are looking ahead and they're doing what it is to be at full strength for the moments that are really going to matter.
I just find it so interesting with basketball that because I said to Jane, I'm like, the season's almost done. They're going to be done in like June. And I looked, I'm like, they're done in 10 days.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah,
hopefully they're done in June. That's a championship run right there.
But like, I mean, I'm sure it's like this in football, of course. So you have a bad season and you make it to the playoffs. It is possible to make it from, you know, as an underdog right to the Super Bowl and win. But for some reason with basketball, it just seems weird to me that it's almost an open secret to say, yeah, we don't really like, we care about winning to maintain the seed position, but that's not when it really starts for us. Our starting point is really when we play super hard as the playoffs. Because fans say it too. They're like, who cares? I don't care until the playoffs. I'm like, wow, that's so interesting to me.
Well, I just find it on you. Are there any other jobs where you can do that?
Congress. Congress. Or Wisconsin State Legislature.
That's an excellent point, Greg Bach. Yes, elected officials, that would be the one.
Basketball is a little unique in its structure. You know, in the NFL, you can't really coast in. You can in some situations, but you only get 17 games. Every game has a disproportionate amount of value to your playoff positioning, how things are going to develop for you in your playoff journey. Some teams can lock it, coast in for the last week or two, but that's a pretty rare circumstance. Baseball to me is different from basketball, just in the nature of the gameplay. Like, there's so many of these one-on-one matchups, pitcher versus batter, and outcomes that don't have a lot to do with intense physical aerobic work all the time and relying on a group of really like five guys to carry the load. You know, baseball, I don't think you see this as much as you might in the NBA, where, okay, you know, you're a playoff team, you know, maybe even a top four team. There's just the incentive to just go crazy is not there right now because let's face it. No one is going to remember the regular season. I could tell you very little about what happened in the 2021 regular season when they won the NBA title. It just does not resonate at all. And this is a team of veterans, so they have to, you know, they've guard against injuries. They have to do whatever it takes to just be healthy, and then they can figure it out from there. Now, Doc Rivers, there is some concern because his track record over time has not been good in the playoffs. There's still some concern that will come to roost. I just don't know what you see in the regular season can really be trusted at face value.
I guess that's the other question too, is you and Paul and Luke Mathers and Joe Zepecki and all these individuals we talk to who are either sports reporters or just big Bucks fans, this concern about Doc Rivers in the playoffs, how, and I'm asking you this respectfully and not like as a joke, how does a coach go from a decent regular season coach to having a bad track record in the playoffs? Like, shouldn't it just be the same idea? Win, same motivation, score more points. How does that happen?
I mean, that's a very good question. Playoff basketball in the NBA is just dramatically different from regular season. And it has to do with the repetition of playing the same team 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. Yeah. The opportunity to adjust really separates great, you know, good coaches from great coaches because, you got guys on who are resting during the regular season. So presumably in the playoffs, everybody's at full strength or close to it. You've got the chance to change matchups, you know, two nights later. Okay, well, this didn't work on this guy, as opposed to, okay, we saw the Celtics. We maybe can fix some things, but we're not going to see them for another 2 months. Now it's just a completely different element. I mean, there are teams and players and coaches who have had a ton of success in the regular season, but then they're easily figured out over the course of 7 games, where teams can really just lock in and say, this is the only team we care about now. You know, how do you watch film in the NBA when you've got a game every 2 or 3 days? There's obviously some of that, but you know, I don't know if teams are openly preparing for who they're going to see, you know, 3 games from now. There's just no time for that. There's no way to get that done. Whereas now in the playoffs, totally different. Everything comes down to film and picking up on tendencies and things like that. So it is, I think, a little bit different in the postseason.
Well, go Bucks. We'll just hope that they do well in the postseason and take it all the way.
No one think I'm not rooting for them. I'm just trying to, as a newer-ish basketball fan human person, trying to understand those mechanics.
Yeah. Over to baseball. Baseball season is underway. Greg, you were not very happy with the loss yesterday.
It's not that we lost. It's we lost the lead. I don't. If the Twins beat us 7-1, 6-5, whatever, it's when we lose those. Like in the second game against the Mets, we had a solid 7-run lead, and we managed to lose most of it. We won. But we almost lost, and that's what I'm worried about, is letting those leads slip. And, I mean, that's my nervousness. But I will say, opening day when I went and the first game against the Mets in New York, that is some sparkling Brewers playing right there. That is some high energy, good teamwork, a lot of fun being had on the field. And my friend who's a Mets fan, he goes, Reese. Tell me his
Reese
last
Hoskins. Name.
Thank you. Reese Hoskins, our new guy from Phillies. he's like, yeah, he really rattled us. I'm like, our guy rattled the Mets. So yeah, I'm excited. I love baseball.
I hear you. And I'm with you. When 7-3 on its face is a totally fine, acceptable outcome. There's going to be a million of those over the course of a year. But when you're up 3-1 in the seventh with presumably your second or first best reliever on the mound, you'd like to think that you can maybe lock that down. I think the concern here for a team that's 4-1, and obviously that's a great start, even with the loss, the concern here is that the pitching is shaping up kind of on paper what you might think it would do, which is not great. And that's starters who don't make it deep into the game, and relievers who have to pick up that slack. And maybe the relievers do amazing things, like a guy named Brian Hudson, who threw 3 innings of relief against the Mets. And that, I think that was on the finale on Sunday. That was, I would say, kind of unexpected. That's really hard to do. And you can't do that night after night after night. Yeah. You know, you can't rely on relievers to go multiple innings over and over and over again. That's just it's a very tough ask, especially if you don't have depth coming out of your ears. Now the Brewers depth is okay, but it's not to the point that you can accommodate for guys that are only going 4 innings. And outside of Freddy Peralta, that's what we've seen. So a game like Wednesday rolls around and it's almost expected. Like at some point, this bullpen is going to snap, and it's going to come quickly. It's going to be early.
Yeah.
It's exactly what we saw. Joel Piamp had pitched, I want to say 4 times in 5 days or 4 times in 6 days or whatever. Like, yeah, he's going to suddenly give up 4 hits to 5, you know, stretch of 5 batters. So that's the concern. There's no starting pitchers in the pipeline who are going to help that. I know their plan is kind of to do some more of this, to not have guys work deep into games and be able to have a bullpen that can fill the void. I would like to see it before I believe it. You know, like that's a tough process. You've got to make a lot of right calls on the right relievers, and you've got to use your farm system, and you've got to, you know, extend the depth of your roster. I don't know if I believe the Brewers have that in them, but we did see a lot of great performances through the first 4 games. Those were some tense, close games. And, you know, you can't deny that they performed very well, like you said. So maybe we do see more of that. I'm not sure.
Well, it's a long season. We only have, 972 games left, because it's a long baseball season.
That's true.
We have 158.
Oh, only 100.
There are 158 games, Jane.
Thank you.
It seems like a reversal type of thing. You know, for a few years, for a few seasons, the Brewers were rocking pretty solid on pitching. You know, they had,
that's correct,
you know, some of the best pitchers in the league, and our hitting is where we were kind of faltering. The bats always usually came alive somewhere after the All-Star break. And now it seems like, you know, we got people are hitting dingers every game. Christian Yelich already got 2 under his belt and we're 4 games in. Jackson Chirio hit his first one. I mean, is it a reversal? Is it now we got to spend time on that pitching roster, and Chris Hook has really got to put the time in and maybe make some trades throughout the season on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's well observed, very much. This is a throwback. And I think I maybe said this earlier on a previous show, the 2018 team was built very similarly to this. Yeah. Not a lot of great starting pitching, guys that can maybe get you to the sixth inning, electric bullpen, and guys who can mash. This lineup is built for mashing. There hopefully will be a lot more offense. We have not seen that, I would say, through the first five games of the year. The offense has been okay. It's gotten the bat on the ball, which is good. It has activated its speed. It's stolen a ton of bases, which is good. That's another team strength. But, you know, it's a lot of station to station, not a lot of power, a couple homers and a couple doubles, but not a lot of, you know, not a lot of like, okay, this offense is going to be so much better that it's going to carry the losses that they sustained in the pitching staff. I'm not sure I believe that yet. You know, another aspect of this team is their defense. That lineup is so strong, and that's how they figure they're going to cover up the lack of great elite starting pitching, is just having defense that's so good that you can't help but get outs, you know, no matter where the ball is placed. And I think for the most part, we have seen that. We saw that last year. And I think we've seen it so far this year. But again, is that sustainable if you don't have elite guys who can just, you know, go eight innings one night, or you know, back-to-back games of seven innings? We'll find out, I guess. 158 more times to check it out. So we'll see.
He joins us every other Thursday at this time. He's the Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe. And don't forget, since we're talking about the Brewers, we have a pair of Brewers tickets for tomorrow night's game.
That's right.
So stay close. It's a little trivia question. Here's the number you're going to want to call. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. JR, thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you later.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text, join the show, join the conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have a pair of tickets for the Brewers game tomorrow night, 7:10 at Miller Park. And if you would like.
Where?
At the place.
County Stadium, yeah, 2, place. Electric Boogaloo.
That place. Yeah, yeah. AmFam Field.
I call it County Stadium. You know why? I'm still paying for it.
If you would like tickets for tomorrow night's Brewers game, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Greg has a trivia question for you.
Now, this trivia question requires an exact answer. It is Googleable. That's why we require An exact answer.
All right.
So the question is, how big is the new Jumbotron at American Family Field? How big is the new Jumbotron, the one in center field, not the one in the right field, at American Family Field?
Because there was a whole bunch of articles and discussions when this was installed. I mean, that was practically front page news.
Yeah.
At one point, because this thing is ginormous.
It's twice the size of the old one. And I think the new one that's on the side, that's on right field, is bigger than the old one. It's ginormous. And you do need to give us the exact, and like I said, it's Googleable.
You can find the answer if you just Google for it.
How big is the Brewers' new Jumbotron at American Family Field?
855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You got a couple of minutes to call in and pick up those tickets for tomorrow night's Brewers game at AmFam Field, 7:10.
I like the way everyone hears, because when you have to say it, because I guess I always thought that the name was AmFam, as far as like, that's the nickname, but apparently the higher ups are like, we do not call it that. I'm like,
what? Oh, is it American Family Field?
Yeah, it's like, come on, it's fun. AmFam.
855-75-CIVIC if you would like to play for these tickets. Tom from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning.
Well, here's your trivia question, Tom, and if you can answer it, you're going to pick up those tickets.
How big is the new Jumbotron screen at American Family Field?
13,000 square feet.
That's not the... Are we doing it? Wait, are we going to the judges? Hold on. Let me look at the judges. Ding, 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 ding. You
Brian
are correct,
Kelly.
Sir. You
Brian
are,
Kelly
yeah,
was
Brian
the judge.
Kelly's the judge. Yeah. He says, yes, he loves the Brewers. It's his favorite baseball team, period. Don't ever say anything about the Cubs around him. But, yes, you are the winner of those tickets. Tom from Racine, stay on the line. And
Calvin's going to get all your info.
Correct.
And we'll make sure you get set up with those tickets. And thank you so very much for listening, Tom. We really, really appreciate it. We will have one more pair of tickets, right, tomorrow?
Correct. One last pair.
One last pair of tickets.
But we'll be giving them away throughout the season.
All
yeah,
through the season.
Exactly. So stick around.
Yep, definitely. Real quickly, in just the couple of minutes that we have left, there's an article in today's Journal Sentinel, and I bring this up only because my sister brought it up to me last week, and I had no idea that there is a bridge in Wauwatosa that actually has its own Facebook page.
Is it like Mount St. Helens has its own
Sort of, yes.
I eat things.
It's called the Swan Slicer.
Okay, I'm going to...
Because of this bridge on Swan Boulevard, it's a railroad bridge that is notorious for slicing off the tops of trucks that are too tall. The Swan Slicer has more than 2,000 followers who share pictures and stories of all the latest crashes by cement trucks and moving vans. One user on this Swan Slicer Facebook page said, "We've lived near this bridge for 17 years. We've gotten used to recognizing the loud boom or crunch is a truck hitting the bridge. There are slow clearance signs, of course. Still, 40 trucks have hit the bridge in just the last 5 years."
Someone put up a sign that said, "If you hit this sign, you will hit that bridge." It ripped the top off of an Amazon truck.
Oh, yeah. My sister brought this up to me the other day. It's called the Swan Slicer. It's on Swan Boulevard, and I take that road all the time. I know exactly the bridge that they're talking about. 40 trucks have hit that bridge in just the last 5 years, so now they're going to be making some changes because apparently people don't know how high their trucks are.
And they raised it because it used to be 12 feet, or they lowered it and they put like a guard thing on there, because now it says 11 feet 6 inches, and there's one that says 12 feet. Yeah. Whoa.
Are you on their Facebook page?
Oh, my God, yes. I will link this. It's like watching an industrial can opener.
Exactly. It just crinkles the whole top off, right?
Yeah. Yes, it really, I mean, like, I'll put the picture into your head. Remember the old twist, like the twist on a Spam can?
Yes.
The old key?
Oh, yes.
That's what it looks like. It's pulled off. It's curled. It's just a... And it's not even like, oh, there's a ding. It's like your truck is destroyed.
Oh, yeah. That's never good. This will be an upgrade to existing signs. We are trying to give more positive guidance to truck drivers. Well, I would think it would be incumbent upon the driver to know how high their truck is. Since bridges are, we have lots.
Yeah, and they need to be taken care of and not destroyed.
And think about the integrity to the bridge. If this thing has been struck 40 times in the last 5 years, that's not good.
There's a bridge in Schenectady, New York. It has that sign. If you hit this sign, you will hit that bridge. The problem is the sign is about 50 feet away from the bridge. So if you hit the sign, you have to slam on your brakes, and that could cause a problem. That thing should be up a little closer. But yeah, holy cow.
Check out the Swan Slicer. We will get a link on our show notes after the show is over. 2,000 followers, the Swan Slicer on Facebook, talking about this bridge in Wauwatosa on Swan Boulevard.
Milwaukee Record has a t-shirt.
Oh, do they do that for the Swan Slicer?
Yeah.
Of course they do. All right, news is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, and then the incomparable Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m., so stick around for that. Thank you so much, Calvin. And Greg, without you guys, nothing works. Thank you all so very, very much for listening and calling and texting. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you had the chance to share it. Stay close. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, I do.